Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We had our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Gentry Estes to the program from the Tennessean. Gentry, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Good morning. Good to be back with you.
Good to have you with us. Gentry, we have made it to week one of the NFL. We got the Super Bowl rematch coming up this week. We've got the game in Australia. And then it's Titans and Jets on Sunday, which we've been talking about at this point for weeks. So my question to you is this. You know, we've gone through the schedule. You know, from the moment the schedule came out, everybody looked at the Jets game and was like, well, you probably need to win that game. Is it possible that we're overhyping this Jets game? Rex Road and I believe the answer to that is no. Every Titans fan seems to believe the answer to that is no. What say you, Gentry Estes?
Well, if I say yes, it's only because there's 17 of these and one game isn't going to sink your whole season. But I do understand. I mean, clearly, there's a lot to this that would be unique in terms of an opener. Number one, there's not that many teams on the Titans schedule you look at and you go, hey, they can beat that team. Added to the fact that you've got Robert Saleh's old team, I think that's a big aspect here. I think the NFL did the Titans a favor, frankly, by putting the Jets first because you've had an entire offseason. Look, everybody on that team understands what this game means to the head coach. And even if they don't say it, I think they understand. And I do think the Titans will be ready to play. But if you do lose this game, yeah, I mean, you look at the schedule from this point. Guys, I heard you guys picking the records. And I had it at about 5 wins, but I had a win in this opener followed by like 4 or 5 losses.
Right.
So if you do lose this one, you could envision a pretty rough start from that point.
Yeah, and I can envision, like, I mean, I said this earlier, Ginger, but like next week, like if they lose, then like a lot of people will just want to talk about the 2027 draft on Monday. Like, it'll just, like, you know, just like that the whole season. Because you're right, of course, with 17 games, a team can change, teams can improve. You could beat the Eagles the next week, but like, yeah, it will be. This fan base is so battered now, right? That it's like, it's just the emotional stakes of this one are so high for an opener. And then you have just the Saleh, you know, side of that too. Based on what you've seen and what you know, do you feel good about the Titans in this game?
I think it's a classic setup for the Titans to play well and win. I've thought that all along with the mostly the former coach angle, but also you're at home, you're playing a team that, I mean, honestly, if you look at the Jets right now, they shouldn't beat the Titans. And there's not going to be that many games this season where that's the case, where you look at this on paper and go, you know what, the Titans probably should win that game. You know, there's just not that many of those. So, yeah, I mean, I guess so. But I feel like I would have liked Cam Ward to play a little better in the preseason games. I would have liked the offense to as a whole to look a little better in that in that second game, for sure, when Seattle's backups kind of outplayed the Titans on both sides of the ball. That was alarming to me. But I do feel like in the joint practices, the offense was better. I think that in the joint practices, the Titans hung with a couple of pretty good teams that I saw. I wasn't at the one in San Francisco, but the Seahawks and the Bears. So I don't know. I've just seen too many of these preseasons where the narratives that we come up with while watching all these practices do not hold up at all once the games start. And so I think in the NFL especially, you really don't know until you see that first week. And even then, you still don't know, really.
All right, so Gentry, in a strange story that I didn't think I'd be talking about this morning, the Cedric Gray UTV incident. Let's play this out and say, you know, he's in concussion protocol, and I guess – maybe he doesn't go on Sunday. How big of a loss is that for the Titans in this game, in your mind?
I mean, you'd rather have him than not have him. I don't think you – you know, Cedric Gray's obviously a very productive player. I felt like he had a good preseason. You know, you he's a guy who's going to get a lot of tackles, be very active in the middle of the field. But if this is a pass to get Anthony Hill out there a little quicker, I don't hate that. I think Anthony Hill was coming on there by the end of the preseason. Maybe he isn't quite ready yet, but there's a lot of talent there. And I feel like James Williams could probably step in. There are other positions it would scare me more to lose the top guy than that one.
So now you got Cody Barton's slowness and Anthony Hill's rookiness. Jets by three. Yep. Great job, UTV. It's one of those things. See, even this, Gentry, it's like things happen, you know, but it's still, it just feels like, oh my God, it's so Titans, you know. Like, what other team has, like, some key guy? I think he's a top seven player on this team. I said that earlier. I might have to go through the list and verify that. But, like, I think he's going to be really good this year, right?
Not to speak anything into existence, Joe, but the Titans' move here would have been for it to happen to Carnell Tate.
Well, that's true.
Before we could even really see him.
Carnell Tate doing the Buffalo Bills sailgating. Smashing into tables. Yeah, no, that's a very good point. It's just, I don't know. It's like, I just feel like this fan base needs, like, stuff like that to not happen and to stop happening, and, like, some reason to, like, think there's something. You know, it just feels like this preseason, and maybe I'm overreacting to this a little bit, but it just feels like not much came out of it that gets fans excited, right? Even though I think there are some things about this team that, I mean, I think Latham looked better, and, you know, like there's some guys who Tate looked good, you know, for the most part. But I don't know, man. It just seems like this fan base is down bad. What do you think the crowd's going to look like Sunday?
Yeah, that's a good question. They should probably, I don't know. Is it going to be like 120 degrees on the field?
I think so.
It's going to be hot in the 90s.
That'll probably affect things. But I feel like, you know, I think where the fans are, at least where I'm at with this, talking about the Cedric Gray thing, you're just tired of the excuses, right? This looms as like, well, that's going to be an excuse when they give up all these yards. No more excuses. This entire franchise, no more excuses. Go win. And I think everyone's just kind of fed up with that at this point. So, yeah, when you see something like this, Cedric, well, there you go. That's going to be the excuse. But all things considered, they came out of the preseason pretty healthy. There really isn't something that you look at and you say, well, gosh, they're not going to be able to overcome this. And that includes Cedric Gray. You know, this team needs to show the ability to overcome something like this. They haven't been able to do it the last couple of years. Seems like anytime there's any sign of adversity, they crumple up and fold. So, you know, let's see someone like Anthony Hill step up and have a game. You know, why not? Why can't that happen?
Yeah, I think it's a good point. Now, Gentry, keeping in mind that I realized the opponent was Furman on Saturday, pretty impressive debut for Faison Brandon. What did you make of that, and what do you make kind of the test coming this weekend for Tennessee as they travel to Georgia Tech?
Yeah, I was surprised at Georgia Tech's opener. I think that's going to be a desperate team on the other side now that Tennessee's got to go face, but I think it's definitely a beatable team. I think you have to look at it and say that. This is an interesting game. I've seen teams before, good teams, go play at Georgia Tech and have trouble, even with some teams that they probably shouldn't have. So I actually think this could be a tricky game for Tennessee with a new quarterback and everything. You know, I think maybe a little deceptive how easy it was against a team like Furman, but you expect that going. I think that's the case for most of the SEC this weekend. But I feel like we're going to learn a lot about Tennessee in this game. I think it kind of set up all along to where that was going to be the case. Things are not going to be near as easy for Faison Brandon, although he is a talent, and he is an example to Vanderbilt of why it might make sense to play the freshman, because there's going to be mistakes, but with the kind of ability he has, he can change a game, and he's scary for a defense. And I feel like, you know, we're going to learn more about him, more about Tennessee, more about the season ahead in this next game. But so far, yeah, it looks pretty good.
Wow, I didn't even need to segue. I was going to go there with you. It's very clear your stance on this, Gentry, from reading the Tennessean. I wonder, at some point, do you and Clark Lee need to wrestle about this? You know. Now I want you to hear my little theory, okay? Which I may have said to you, I don't know, but I feel like, one, there's the Berlowitz you know, loyalty angle. And look, I mean, I think you and I may disagree. I mean, I think that overall, like, it's pretty similar. Like, Kurt is clearly more talented, but there are some things you can do with Berlowitz. He's, you know, they were both like they're close right now. Of course, we all know Curtis. It's like, if you're even, you're leaving, and eventually he's going to have the job. I have a theory that they want to give him a totally fair shake, and Berlowitz, I mean. Also, I think they don't want Jared Curtis to start in that game at Georgia, which could just be an absolute bloodletting, and then the transition happens after that. Is that a silly take by me? That might be a silly take.
Second one was kind of a silly take, I'm not going
to
lie.
I don't think
that's really on the table, but I do think there is a lot of loyalty to Berlowitz and what's happening right now, and the fact that I think he's a little more of a known commodity. He's not going to go out there and make a lot of mistakes. It's not unlike what you would see with a lot of programs when you've got an experienced guy versus a hyped freshman. But to me, and look, I've been pretty even-keeled on this particular topic. I've been writing since the spring, don't expect Curtis to be the starter necessarily. And, you know, I've kind of understood where this is going the whole time and said, look, he's still playing. So they hadn't made a decision when everyone was freaking out. And they still haven't made a decision, and that's kind of my point. They need to make one.
Yeah.
It would be one thing if both of those quarterbacks were very similar, but they're not. They're very different skill sets. So what happens is when one's in the game versus the other, you're running a different offense. That's not sustainable to me. I think Vanderbilt offensively has been very good the last couple of seasons about building an identity and playing to what they do best in order to win games. A lot of that obviously had to do with their quarterback, but what was interesting about that was in 24, they were very ball control, run heavy, keep it forever, possession kind of team. 25 with Pavia, they started throwing the ball around because they realized they could, and he was able to do that. What's happening is they're kind of, you know, going between those two where based on who the quarterback is. And while I guess that could work, I just feel like for Vanderbilt to reach its ceiling, I think you're better off with a quarterback like Curtis, because I just feel like he gives you something that you haven't already had. When Berlowitz was in the game against Austin Peay, they looked more like the 24 offense. That's fine, but when you play that way, where you try to hold the ball for 40 minutes a game, you're almost admitting that you're not as good as the other side. You're having to do something to kind of even the playing field strategically. And I'm not sure Vanderbilt's really in that case. It has to do that anymore. I feel like with Curtis, that gives you more of an opportunity to do things you haven't done and to take kind of another step. Whereas I feel like with a more limited quarterback and in a skill set that, you know, maybe leans more toward what you've done a couple years ago, you're just kind of getting by in the hopes of winning the game. Whereas I think with Curtis, you can flourish a little more.
All right, so Gentry, last thing for you. Maybe you were there already, because I think a lot of people were, but was Saturday officially confirmation to you that Clemson football being like a powerhouse under Dabo Swinney is done and it's never coming back?
I am proud to say I did not watch 1 minute of that game.
Nice.
One play of that game.
Well, Clemson sucks.
I looked at
the
score one time and I just went, nope. So I for one am going to take a stand against Lane Kiffin by not even really caring that much. How's that?
I like it.
How about how about clocks in stadiums? Should we just get rid of that on the TV? Should we just get rid of that TV and just count? It'll be like soccer. The refs just, all right, game's over. Hey, you're good. Extra time's over. Michigan gets one more play. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't. It's a tough one. Tough one if you're Western Michigan. I don't think they're ever going to have that kind of opportunity again. How do you think that's going over up in Michigan there, Joe? You think that's a bit of a talker right now?
Dude, my Sparty wife is still like ruined her whole weekend. I mean, my God, she's still mad about it. I mean, like, everybody but Michigan fans, you know, are just completely up in arms. Except, like, the Western Michigan president, like, thank you. We are very happy with the outcome. It's all fine. I'm like, wow, okay. Not mad about this at all. Very weird situation.
Very weird. This is almost worse than if Michigan had actually lost the game.
Yeah, kind of. It kind of is.
Right, and their fans are like, oh, by the way, we might totally suck in the meantime. But, yeah. Nobody's happy.
Gentry, looking forward to our first full weekend of both college and NFL football coming up this weekend. Thanks for taking time to be with us, and we will talk to you soon, my friend.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Yep, Gentry Estes from the Tennessee, and our guests will react to what Gentry had to say, your thoughts on the Titans, your thoughts on Vanderbilt and Tennessee. Take it wherever you want to take it. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Get thicker grass, better color, fewer bare spots with turf application. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Gentry Estes for being on with us in the last segment. Caleb on the text line saying, I know y'all spoke on this a little earlier, but what kind of reports do we have on the Cedric Gray situation? I mean, my goodness, do these people not have brains? Why are we riding a side-by-side the week before the first game? There's an after-the-season activity bleep blows my mind.
Well, some teams I absolutely would have this in a contract that you can't even do this at any time.
Yeah.
You know, anybody remember it's like Jay Williams with Mike motorcycle, you know, ended his career. Yeah, it's dumb, man. I'm sure that stuff like this happens more than we think, and we just don't hear about it because, you know, like, people don't get hurt. I mean, I don't know. What the heck was Traylon Burks riding now when he's out there shooting hogs? I mean, I have no idea, you know?
No clue.
I mean, you know, was he like,
also, like,
hand gliding? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what happened with the UTV. I don't know if he, like, ran into something or if they flipped it. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I mean, I would say there's, you know, if it's just, like, riding down your driveway in one of these things, they're pretty safe. So, like, you
right,
know.
Yeah. But usually,
you're not doing that.
Usually, so, you're doing stuff that gives you a little bit of a bumpy ride, and right, it's a little bit of a thrill, and it's just like, yeah, it's
maybe
not
the best
those
call the week before the season opener.
So again, I mean, Austin Huff had a had a great video of, like, normal NFL player, like, I'm gonna grind on this film, the Titans, and it was like him, like, woo-hoo-hoo! Or they just falls off the screen. You know, it's like, a lot of these guys this last weekend, they went to their alma mater, to college football. They went out, got food, got some wings, got some beers, whatever. Went on a boat. That's all fine. Like, you have free time, but yeah, like, anything that's even like a slightly dangerous activity,
maybe avoid.
Probably avoid that because it's embarrassing.
Yeah,
to sit here now, and it is. You know, like I hear what Gentry's saying, like, hey, Anthony Hill, but to me, you want it's. Some point this season, you want Gray and Hill out there together.
Agreed.
And I think that's going to be your best combination is going to be, I think, a really good combination. I like Cedric Gray a lot. I think he has a chance to be a really good player. I think he's really an ascending player. Again, I think he's a top seven player on this team. I haven't listed the seven. Who are the seven? Okay, Simmons.
Sure.
Skoronski.
Yep.
I'm going to put JFM in there.
I would put him in there too.
Taylor, corner. Volante Taylor. Maybe he's in that mix.
Could be.
I mean, yeah. The thing is, we're already slim pickings right now. So, I mean, I guess Cam and Tate, there's five.
You think Cam's a top seven player?
Well, I mean, he's the quarterback. I don't know.
I don't think he's top seven.
This is another way to, like, hate on Cam Ward.
He should be.
Yeah, he's easily top seven. In fact, now that I talk about it, Cedric Gray, I think he's a top five player on this team. So it's a loss if he can't get out of the protocol this week and play. It's just like, you know, like, Geno Smith is washed, and he's not going to have a good year. They're not going to have a good year. They're going to be drafting one of these quarterbacks very high in the draft next year. They're probably going to have a new coach. But on a particular day, could Geno Smith carve
sure.
you up? Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just, like, to take out what I think is a very key piece of this defense and will be all year. Again, Anthony Hill will come in at some point and Barton can sit down. I don't know, man. It's another thing of, like, if they lose, it's already bad enough if they lose, but then you just throw this on the pile.
Well,
you know?
I mean, hopefully, again, I don't know what the status of this looks like. Hopefully we get to a point this week where he gets through the concussion protocol, he's ready to go on Sunday. I'm still, I guess, holding out some hope from that, but it's not ideal for your linebacker to be in concussion protocol from a UTV accident the first week of the year. Herb says it's the coach's fault. They should all have all been at practice.
If you're being serious, Herb, that's against the CBA. So, no. They were off. They were allowed to be off.
He should have been studying film.
Why wasn't he, like, you know, working on his pass sets, you know?
Maybe he was.
Doing some calisthenics.
Top of the UTV.
Yeah. It's just.
I go back to the story I created for myself earlier. He's on a fox hunt with Amy, and it just went a little sideways.
You know, it is too bad that Treylon Burks didn't work out. They could have combined fox and hog hunting into one expedition.
He could have been her favorite player of all time.
Yeah.
You know?
It could have been.
Really,
like,
could have been. It's a missed opportunity.
I mean, if he was great and they were winning, I think of, like, the NFL Films, like, documentary of their.
That Treylon?
They go, like, on a huge safari, just, you know, just poaching left and right.
I'm going to take a shot. Get him out. Then you can go track him down with your hand knife out there.
Missed opportunity.
Yep.
Yep.
I assume he made Washington teams. What's he going to do this year? Treylon Burks?
Well, I think he got hurt again, right? Yeah. I don't know that it was like a serious injury, but I thought that there was some kind of a, you know.
He got dinged in camp, I think.
Yeah, dinged in camp, which again is just one of those, it's just part of the story with him. But I think he actually is going to play and do, you know, he's at least a rotational receiver in the league. Better than you can say for my beloved Will Levis.
Yeah, your boy. I probably went a little over top of that earlier, didn't I?
Like, you did not predict that he would not be in a practice squad.
I think I did.
Really?
Yeah.
I need to hear the audio of this. You remember this? That sounds extreme.
I think I said.
I mean, we were talking about the trade. Like, no.
I said I wouldn't be surprised. So I don't know that I necessarily predicted it. I think I said I wouldn't be surprised if nobody picked him up. That's how bad he's been.
I mean, I don't know.
It's just week one. We haven't got to week one yet. He could get on at some point. You know?
I am very surprised if he's actually out of the league right now. Like, to me, there's got to be, like, people must hate his guts.
Try out for the Jets. Ah, no thanks. He's not good enough.
He shows up with the Titans playbook, and they're like, yeah, we're good, Will.
It's all right. We don't need you.
We're fine. Man, that's crazy, man. That's a dramatic fall from grace. Again, 2 years ago, it's like, well, he's getting questions like, well, you got a chance this year to establish yourself and make that $150 million. What do you think? You know, you got the Mayo cologne. 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Out of the league?
There's still time.
Man. Ed says, can you confirm if Gray got hurt trying to save T-Rex from Amy's Labor Day fox hunt? T-Rex was out there. I'm just trying to be the mascot. I'm not in the part of the hunt. I am not your game today. Wow, good job, Ed. This is the thing. This is the stuff that we talk about with the Titans on game week.
It said
T-Rex not getting shot in a fox
hunt. He's in concussion protocol and other minor injuries.
I know. So this sounds significant.
Like minor, you know, I don't know exactly what minor injury means when you fall off a UTV or have like a little accident. Is that like a hand, upper body? Maybe it's more than just a concussion. And our friend John Glennon pointed out last year, Gray missed a game in concussion protocol. Yeah. So this is his second concussion in 9 months.
Yeah, you don't need to, like, give yourself concussions and things other than football when you're already getting them in football.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what if he like, twisted his ankle too?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what other minor injuries mean in this release, but.
Sometimes I hate this team. Can we get to the point where we just put together, you know, a couple weeks of competent organizational football?
That's why it's a must win. Win a football game, please. My God.
615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on the Titans. We will get into some of our takeaways from Tennessee and Vanderbilt over the weekend as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. George on the text line, setting aside wins and losses. What specifically do y'all think you need to see from the Titans over the first 4 weeks to have confidence that they're taking a step forward as a group? Well, I would think wins are going to be part of that. I think a lot of that comes down individually to the quarterback. Like, it's how well is the quarterback playing? If they're losing games, are they losing games because they can't stop anybody from completing a pass down the field? Or are they losing games because they can't score points on offense because their quarterback's missing receivers left and right. Like, I mean, so much of it to me comes down to that. I mean, I guess as a whole, you know, how good does Carnell Tate look early in the year?
Yeah.
You know, what's the, you know, Latham, what's he look like on the right side of the offensive line? Do we get 4 or 5 weeks into the year and we're not even really talking about J.C. Latham all that much because there's no problems going on over there? That would be great. So yeah. Some of those things we'll be looking for, but I think, you know, 90% of it's going to come down to how's the quarterback looking.
But like someone texted earlier, and it's like, well, if we lose 37-34, Cam's great, you know, people will still be pretty positive. I'm like, well, yeah, but then they're going to be like, oh, so the defensive genius head coach we just hired, who had a bad record with the Jets, let Geno Smith tear up this defense?
Right.
Like, you want to see good defense. I think before we started watching these defensive backs get torched by backup quarterbacks, we were talking this could be like a good defense maybe. So, to me, you want to see the middle of the line dominated for sure. That's your best part of your team on paper. You want to see these corners actually look competent. I mean, Winston's a big guy too. Like, you know, Hooker, you hope he has enough this year to, you know, be fine. But you want Winston to be a ball-hawking, rangy, playmaking, not mistake-making safety out there.
Well, and I think, too, I mean, Gentry nailed it to me. I think some people are just tired of the excuses. Like, and that's part of what makes this game big, too, is, you know, there are excuses that are there if you want to make them, right? Like, it's okay, you're talking about a second-year quarterback. You're talking about, you know, Carnell Tate's a number 4 overall pick, but he's young. You know, there's a new offensive system that you got to get used to. I mean, there's so many things you can make an excuse if you want to. But I think a lot of Titans fans look at that and they're just like, yeah, you know, every team deals with this, some of this to some degree, right? Like, you guys have been the dregs of the NFL now for 2 consecutive years, and you've been bad longer than that. It's time to snap out of it. So I don't think Titans fans are going to have, and really nor should they have, a ton of patience this year. Like, I'm not saying you got to fly off the end of the handle. And if they lose the Jets this weekend, you want the coach fired and a new quarterback on Monday morning. But I just don't think the Titans fans are going to have a ton of patience for like, oh, well, we're not really going to find out what this team's about until week 12 this year because there's so much new going on. Now, miss me with that. It's the NFL.
Yeah. Look, this team is they're an extra time of being crap. Like, the NFL is not built for you to be bad this long. So when you get to this, where, again, we're talking about franchise records of futility, right? We're talking about, like, the early 80s and this era right now, right? You know, it's just going to wear on people. Justin from Greenbrier says, it's not just sometimes, Robbie, it's basically all the time. I've fallen out of love with this team like someone that has gotten food poisoning from their favorite restaurant, and you are forced to go back there and eat again. Even though the health inspector has shut it down, you still have to go back and risk getting the trots. That's quite an analogy there.
I thought about it that way.
We ass, and we never mind. I won't.
We love we ass, okay?
I was going to do some other slow. We won't do that. But thank you, Justin, for even putting the idea in the head.
Rick Show's got a T-shirt design already going in that brain over there.
We ass. What about you ass?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
All I'm saying
but
is –
that's an interesting point, Justin.
I think Monday's show could be interesting. And we've been talking about this game. I would agree. You know, I threw out the question earlier. Are we maybe overhyping week one? I don't think so. Like, I think this fan base, you know, I've said it earlier, it's kind of a unique game as I look back through the history of the Titans. I mean, it's not like they haven't had big week one games before or important week one games. I mean, at the end of the day, there used to be 16. Now there's 17 of them throughout a year. So that's part of what makes football great is every game's important. But this one, from like a fan base morale standpoint, it just feels like there's so much riding on this one. Like, if they go out there and win, I'm not saying that, you know, people are going to be, you know, anointing Cam Ward into the Hall of Fame and planning the Super Bowl parade, but it just feels like the downside of if they lose this game and it's the combo of them losing and him playing bad, like, it's got the potential to just absolutely crush this fan base right from the jump.
Exactly, and apathy too. Again, we hear about apathy a lot. I think you see it. I'm very interested to see what it looks like Sunday in the stadium. But apathy is the thing you do not want as a sports franchise. And people are already like, I don't want to hear anymore. Show it to me. You lose that game, the Titans should just actually just not show up to their media stuff and be like, we will not speak again until we win a football game, okay? Because there's nothing we can say to make you feel better. Like
the people
we're just going to make ourselves look stupid with everything we say.
Like the people who go and like sit on top of the billboards out there like, I'm not coming down until this thing.
Exactly.
Like, we will not address our fans again until we win.
Robert Saleh, I will cook only with seed oil until I win a football game. You see the Karski story about him losing weight? Karski had a nice story about his. It's like, man, wouldn't that be great? You know, if you're like stressed and stuff and like really working hard and then you lose weight. I can't relate to that. No. I go the other way.
Me either.
How about that? No, I mean, it's like, yeah, people, like, there. I don't want to hear anything else. Like you said, Jeff,
maybe we'll do daily press conferences until we win.
There we go.
Yeah.
Although, wouldn't that be great? Or like one ever. But yeah, I mean, it's just no one wants to hear anything else. This team sucks. I'm done. Like that's the reaction. That's why the stakes are as high as they are. It is the fan base, which again, it's not Robert Saleh's fault that all these things happened before he got here. It's not. But also, that's how jobs are available. So you usually know you're coming into kind of a rough situation. He was in a situation where they'd been futile for a long time, of course, with the Jets. With an interesting owner also. It's just what it is. And the bottom line is the question about him, his record, not good. There are excuses you can make for him with the Jets. So don't lose to the Jets.
Well, and we're also going to start to find stuff out about him. Like everybody's focused in on the quarterback now, and I get it. Yeah, I am too. But we're gonna start to find out, you know, is Robert Saleh one of those guys that is a really good coordinator in the NFL? Which we see, by the way, all the time in the NFL, where people are really good coordinators and maybe not great head coaches.
Sure.
Is that what he is? Or in stop number two here, has he learned, evolved, whatever you want to call it, and can he turn into a pretty good head coach in the NFL? Like, we're not going to find out the complete answer to that on Sunday against the Jets, but we're going to start to, right? Like, it's going to be kind of our first real data point of information with him as head coach.
And let me
hopefully knows the rules.
And let me briefly add on to that. The biggest probably criticism in terms of what he did, where it's like, don't do that ever again, is worry too much about media crap. Well, and so there's also that as part of our recent pass in this wonderful preseason for the Titans. So yeah, it's just I keep coming back to don't lose this freaking game. Jane Clarksville said, if the Titans are bad again, I would not call for anyone to get fired. I'm just not gonna watch it. I tuned out last year, I'll do it again. Call me when they're competent. Let the Bachelorettes enjoy the new stadium. That's depressing.
Well, listen, people love football. I do sense, still, Joe, like I sense legitimate excitement about the season opener.
You got to be.
There's hope. You're excited about the quarterback. You're excited about Carnell Tate. Like, I still, given everything we've talked about in the preseason, like there's still reasons for me to be excited. There's still a lot of intrigue I've got about what this team could turn into as the year goes on here. But I am a little nervous that it's just going to be bad again. And I think it's like a lot of Titans fans that look at it and say, you're going to have that fear until they prove to you otherwise at this point, right? Like, I think you'd almost be crazy not to. It's just been so long that they've been just absolutely futile in every sense of the word out there that I think with most people, they've just reached, just show me. Like, get out there and show me something. And if you do, then I think a lot of people are right back in there, and they're all in again, and they're ready to go, and we're excited about the new stadium next year. But if they don't, like I just, like you said, and we probably under-discussed this, we're getting close to, like, just franchise all-time futility here with this particular team.
All right. So, play okay. Cam plays okay. You beat the Jets. No one's impressed, but it's still okay.
It's better than the alternative.
Because this team could – teams get way better during a season. They change. They grow. All that stuff. All those ups and downs. I think anybody can handle all that after this. Just after this.
Yeah.
You know.
Take care of this.
Yeah. Do this one.
615-737-1025. Faison Brandon, a big day for Tennessee on Saturday. Vanderbilt – with an interesting first half against Austin Peay, and then they pulled away. We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day. Appreciate everybody weighing in today. We've made it. It's NFL game week. We got our first weekend of college football and NFL together coming up. We will have Pigskin Pick'em returning on the show on Friday as well. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right. We'll see how many pizzas I can owe you guys in life.
Yeah, still haven't gotten that.
It'd be
one.
A heck of a day.
I mean, summer's over. Still haven't gotten that pizza.
Hey, man, like, we got to just, you know, show.
Send it to our house.
Yeah, I guess I could do that.
Did you bring Kuharski another big gulp the other day?
I did. In fact, I went to a fast food place and went to the drive-thru. I was like, do you guys have super large? They're like, no, just large. I'm like, that's what you told me last time. I just want to make sure. Then I went to gas station and got him one that he was very happy with.
That's good.
So I went to two spots for him. So,
do you feel like that effort was appreciated by him, or maybe not recognized enough?
I mean, he was his typical jerky self, okay. But, you know, what are you going
to
do?
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know. Faison Brandon, big weekend for the Vols. 5 touchdowns, 3 through the air, 2 on the ground. SEC Freshman of the Week. Now, keeping in mind, the opponent was Furman, so you have to bring that up. But I thought Brandon looked comfortable, looked in control. Did not look like, you know, there was a whole lot of nerves in his first start. And again, it's Furman, so take that for what you will. They're on the road this weekend taking on Georgia Tech. So we're going to find out a little bit more about Faison Brandon and Tennessee as a whole. But what did you make of the Vols in their week one win against Furman and the performance of Faison Brandon?
Yeah, look, it's great to be able to basically start out against air, which is kind of what it looked like. But the talent's clear, right? The arm talent's clear. The ability to run the ball is clear. You know, he seemed to be in good command of things for a guy who is a true freshman. I was very impressed. Obviously, Mike Matthews, I was actually really impressed with his tracking on that one pass. I mean, but he could be up for a big year, and it's great to see again. You're playing Furman, but Xavier Gilliam, what he looked like in the middle of that line as a really active, fast defensive tackle from Penn State, a Penn State guy who actually stayed and collected the check and played football. He looked good, and so I'm cautiously optimistic that the Vols could really be a team that that can do something this year. You know, I talked earlier in the show, like, Brandon, if he is going to keep progressing, people are going to be so excited about what they could be next year. But why can't this year's team get into the field of 12? Why can't they? We've talked about their schedule. No, they probably aren't winning that one. To me, is either at Texas A&M or Texas coming in. Now, I guess, I don't know. Lane, they look great. They're coming to Knoxville. That'll be fun. Hopefully, he has about 5 losses by then. But they could do that. Now, Brandon, we're going to find out so much more. I think this week will be a much better look, of course.
Agreed.
Right? And that's a solid defensive team. But I don't think you can ask for much more from the opener.
No, I mean, he took off a couple of times in the game where you could see the burst, just the athleticism that he's got. I think he got shoestring tackled on one of them. Otherwise, he'd probably broke off like a 45-yarder on that play. Like, he's got the ability, I think, to be exciting. I'm interested to see on the road. Tennessee's a 12.5-point favorite against Georgia Tech, who didn't look all that good against Colorado. I'm interested to see kind of what the response level looks like for them there. It's a night game, so we'll see, you know, what that looks like for Tennessee as Brandon's making his first start on the road in a pretty good environment. So you're going to find out more on Saturday, but I thought all in all, you got to be pretty happy with the way he played to start his career on Saturday. Vanderbilt is an interesting first half against Austin Peay, a lot closer than I think a lot of people thought it would be. They pulled away a little bit in the second half. I think you described it perfectly. They're kind of a meh opener from Vanderbilt on Saturday, 28-9, the final score there. What did you make of Vanderbilt, their performance against Austin Peay, and where things stand at the quarterback position with Blaise Berlowitz and Jared Curtis?
Yeah, I'm not quite as adamant as Gentry that, you know, it's got to be Curtis. But Gentry made the point, you do get to a situation in football, the whole, well, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. And so it's going to be interesting. I think right now I can see why it would still be competition. There's some things you can do with Blaise Berlowitz that you're not doing with Jared Curtis. Curtis certainly much more talented. It's, you know, they have another game here where, like, they didn't play very well. I think they can be a lot better team than they looked like. Even though, again, Austin Peay is a very solid FCS team, but they have another game here where they can mess around and play whoever and do whatever they want before NC State comes in here. An NC State team that I think Vanderbilt should beat. So does it get settled this week? Do they figure out they're both going to play, they're both probably going to have success, or do they keep this kind of going a little bit more into the season? That's what I kind of feel will happen, but we'll see. I'm absolutely confident that Curtis will end up being the starting quarterback for Vanderbilt football this year, and they'll take it from there. It's just a matter of – and then it's the question of how much value do you get and how much are you losing when this freshman – who's going to be your quarterback of the future, who is the biggest recruit ever, doesn't get all the first-team reps in practice. Like those are valuable.
Is Clemson football officially dead in your mind?
Well, they're not. They're officially – you know, they made this – if you remember 2 years ago, Georgia being like 34-3, we're like, yeah, they're dead, right? And they made this great run in the mid-ACC, and they got in the playoff. But they are done as a power. I'm sure they're a fine team that'll go like – win 7 or 8 games this year. I wouldn't be surprised. In the ACC, I mean, they don't even play Louisville. I looked that up the other day. I think Louisville is better than them. They don't have to play them. But, yeah, I think Dabo's time with a power in college. And the thing is, it's like they went in the portal. They got 11 guys.
Yeah.
But they stuck with the loyalty with the quarterback who's developing. It isn't good. He's not good.
83 yards.
Yeah, he was terrible. The young guy, maybe he'll be good, but it's like, this is why all these teams are out here paying money in the portal to get a quarterback. And his AD told him, apparently, you can do that. Well, no, he stuck with him. His staff hires have not been good enough. I mean, it's not just get with the times, it's bad choices by him. And, yeah, I don't see them getting back to what they were, not even close.
Interested to see, I think AP poll comes out today. I mean, I would assume LSU probably going to skyrocket in that thing. We'll see if there's any movement. On the Vols front, I would imagine Michigan will be heading down.
Number one? Number 1-0. They're state champs. By the way, a couple of Michigan fans, shout out to you for saying that you disavow this win. Someone said his wife's a Michigan fan who says no, it doesn't. And then someone else said Western got jobs. So good for you, Michigan fans. You do not represent the social media segment of Michigan fans, but I'm proud of you.
Yep. Interesting night on Saturday night. Actually, we'll get into this later this week. Obviously, some really good games in college football coming up this weekend.
Yes. So, I mean, Ohio State, Texas
obviously headlines that. So that'll be good. But I think football, Oklahoma, man. Michigan this weekend too. So good stuff.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. Football is here. So we should enjoy that and not just worry about the Titans losing to the Jets.
615-737-1025. We'll have you covered all day long here on 102.5 The Game. Kuharski will be in with us tomorrow. We'll look ahead to the Titans and the Jets coming up. That's going to do it for us today. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.